Okay, let's unpack this. We've got a stack of material here covering something really, well, fundamental to our lives.
Yeah, something that touches pretty much everyone.
Exactly. But oddly, it's one of the hardest things for us to actually talk about. Money.
Mm-hmm.
So these sources we're looking at, they dive into why money feels so emotional for so many of us.
Right. And they look at different perspectives on wealth and, you know, financial growth.
Yeah. Drawing specifically on some Christian viewpoints alongside broader ones, too.
And they even take on some of those common money myths, the ones that really hold people back sometimes.
Definitely. So the mission for this deep dive, really, is to take all this, pull out the absolute core insight.
And help you cut through the noise, basically. Gain some clarity, find some practical strategies.
We want this to be insightful, useful, you know, not just another overwhelming info dump.
Absolutely.
And right off the bat, something really striking jumps out from this material.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Well, one source points out that for a lot of people, talking about their finances feels even harder than talking about, like, their deepest personal struggles.
Wow. Think about that for a second.
Right. Why is that?
It just immediately highlights that money isn't just about the numbers, is it? It's deeply personal.
Exactly. And another fascinating little nugget right near the start.
Go on.
One of these sources mentions the sheer volume of stuff about money and possessions in the Bible. Over 2,000 verses.
Seriously.
Yeah.
More than heaven or hell, apparently.
Yeah. It really underscores that this isn't some minor topic, you know, across different belief systems even.
It certainly does. And yet, these sources jump right into exploring why. Why does money stir up such powerful feelings in us?
They suggest it goes way, way back, doesn't it? Like, tied into our earliest memories, what we absorbed about money growing up.
Mm, definitely. Like the example one source gives, seeing parents maybe stressed about bills.
And you internalize that feeling that money equals tension or worry.
Yeah, we all end up with a kind of money story shaped by those early experiences, those beliefs we picked up.
And understanding that personal history, you know, those foundational influences and maybe fears. Hmm. The sources say that's crucial.
Right. It explains why the topic feels so wrapped up in our identity, our security, our self-worth, which, of course, makes it tough to discuss openly.
Okay, so moving from those emotional roots, the material takes aim at a really persistent idea. Money is the root of all evil. How do the sources challenge that one?
Well, they draw a really important distinction, actually. They point to the specific phrasing from 1 Timothy 6.10.
Which is,
the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Oh, okay. That shifts everything, doesn't it? It's not the cash itself.
No, it's our attachment to it, or maybe our obsession with it.
Gotcha.
Precisely. And the sources argue that because we humans often struggle with that relationship, you know, letting the love of money take root, that's why there's so much guidance about it.
So it's framed less like money is inherently bad.
And more about our sort of fallen nature making us prone to mismanaging it or even idolizing it.
Right. And this is where the whole idea of stewardship comes in, isn't it? Not just spiritually, but financially too.
Exactly. The parable of the talents gets mentioned as an example. The expectation isn't just passive holding.
No, it's about growth, wise management of what you've actually been given.
And what's really insightful, I think, is that the sources emphasize these principles, whether you call it stewardship or just, you know, smart, responsible management plus generosity. They aren't exclusive to one religious framework.
Mm-hmm.
They present them as pretty universal truths that can genuinely benefit anyone, really, regardless of their specific beliefs.
It prompts that question, doesn't it? Are you mastering your money or is your money mastering you?
That's a great way to put it.
So then the sources look at what they identify as different mindsets around money, particularly contrasting some Christian perspectives with more general, what they call non-Christian views.
Yeah, they suggest that maybe an ideal Christian mindset views money primarily as a resource, something meant to be stewarded, used to bless others.
Okay, so key parts of that would be things like tithing, intentional giving.
Right, and viewing finances as part of your service, basically. But the sources are also quite honest, acknowledging that not all Christians actually embody this perfectly.
How so?
Well, they mention things like maybe feeling guilt about financial success or perhaps wrongly associating poverty with piety, those kinds of things.
Ah, okay. And they contrast this with a more general mindset where money is often seen more as a tool.
Yeah, a tool for personal freedom, security, achievement. Self-made success is often really celebrated.
And generosity might be valued, but maybe not tied to a specific spiritual mandate like tithing.
Exactly. But what's particularly valuable in this comparison, according to the sources, isn't about picking a side.
Right. It's not like you have to choose.
No, the material suggests the most effective approach might actually be to embrace the best parts of both perspectives.
So not either, but kind of blending them. How does the source suggest we do that?
Well, they frame it as like having a clear plan and pursuing growth, but without the pride. And yeah. practicing generosity and humility, but without feeling guilty about what you've achieved.
Mm, okay.
The idea is you can be financially wise and prosperous and also deeply generous and grounded. It's about synthesizing that drive for responsible growth with a generous spirit.
That sounds like a much more integrated and, frankly, healthy approach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these sources also tackle some really common money myths, ideas that many of us have probably heard or maybe even unconsciously believe.
Oh, yeah. They list four key ones that often trip people up. The okay. first one is the myth that if I just have enough faith, money will magically appear.
Okay, right. Like praying for a lottery win and expecting it to happen just like that.
Pretty much. The sources counter this quite firmly. They say faith activates motion, not magic.
Motion, not magic. I like that.
Yeah, they reference James 2:17. Faith without works is dead. So applied to finances, faith might give you the motivation or the belief.
But it needs action. It needs wisdom.
Faith needs feet, as they say.
Okay. What's the second myth they debunk?
Being poor means I'm closer to God. This is a surprisingly persistent one for some people.
Right.
The sources really push back on this, stating that poverty doesn't automatically make you holy. It's obedience and wisdom that matter.
So the idea is that maybe God desires you to be wise and able to manage resources, not necessarily just perpetually broke.
That seems to be the angle, yeah. It directly challenges some traditional thinking there.
Okay. Myth number three.
Budgeting means I don't trust God.
Ah, I can see how people might think that, if you plan every penny.
Right, but the sources reframe this completely. They argue that creating a budget, having a plan, is actually a fundamental act of stewardship.
How so?
It's about responsibly managing and honoring what you've been given, whether you see it as ultimately yours or something you're managing for, a higher purpose.
So planning as an act of trust, almost. Interesting. And the fourth myth is probably the most common one people tell themselves.
Let me guess. I'm just not good with money.
Bingo.
And the sources offer quite a bit of encouragement here. They basically state that financial skills are learned. They're not inherent.
So it's not like you're born good or bad at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You are created with the capacity for a sound mind, is how they put it. And financial wisdom is presented as accessible to anyone who's willing to learn. It's a skill issue, not some kind of character flaw or fixed limitation.
Those myths are powerful blockers, aren't they? They can really hold you back.
Definitely. But the good news is the sources don't just point out the problems. They offer practical ways forward.
Okay, actionable stuff.
Yeah, they lay out five specific habits they suggest can lead to financial growth and wisdom, pretty much regardless of your background.
They call them real life habits, right? What's the first one?
Budget like a boss.
Okay, what does that mean exactly? More than just tracking.
Yeah, moving beyond just tracking expenses to actively giving your money a job, a mission, knowing where every dollar is intended to go before you even spend it.
Ah, okay. Intentionality with your spending. Makes sense. What's habit number two?
Tithe or give generously. Now, the sources present this practice whether you see it through a specific religious lens or simply as radical generosity,
mm-hmm.
as a powerful way to release control, maybe exercise faith in abundance, and definitely support your community or causes you really believe in.
So giving as a foundational habit, not an afterthought. Okay, third on the list.
Get financial education. This one's pretty straightforward, but crucial.
No meaning.
The material stresses the importance of actively learning, reading books, listening to experts, watching seminars, whatever works for you.
The idea being you need to actually prepare for financial increase, not just hope for it or pray for it passively.
Exactly. Knowledge is a form of preparation. You're getting ready.
Preparation meets opportunity. Love it. Number four.
Build multiple income streams.
Ah, the diversification idea?
Right. The sources suggest starting small. Maybe it's a side hustle using a skill you already have, maybe a small investment, or finding other ways to just diversify how money comes in.
Don't rely on just one tap, basically.
You got it. Resilience and growth.
Okay, and the fifth habit.
Align your finances with your values. This really brings it all back home, doesn't it?
How so?
Back to those core emotional and philosophical points we started with. Are your spending habits, your investments, your big financial goals,
mm-hmm.
Do they actually reflect what truly matters most to you?
It's about integrity, then, between your money and your mission or purpose.
Precisely. That connection.
That really connects all the dots, doesn't it? It's not just about piling up money. It's about making your money serve your deepest values and your overall vision for your life.
Mm-hmm. And the material leaves us with this really powerful concept. Money flows where vision goes.
Meaning you don't need perfect finances or a huge pile of cash to start.
No, you need clarity. Clarity on your values, your goals, and then a mindset that's ready to actually apply these kinds of principles.
Wow. Okay, this deep dive has taken us on quite a journey, hasn't it?
It really has.
From, you know, the emotional roots of our money stories through different perspectives on wealth based on these sources.
Tackling some of those key myths that can hold us back.
And finally outlining some really concrete, actionable habits for building financial wisdom.
Yeah, and we've seen how these sources consistently suggest that the challenge isn't really money itself, but more our relationship to it.
Right.
And that cultivating wisdom through these practical habits and really aligning things with your values can offer significant benefits, you know, regardless of your specific belief system or framework.
Hopefully, exploring these ideas from the sources gives you some fresh perspective, maybe some practical ways to think about your own financial journey and your mindset around it all.
Definitely. And just to leave you with a thought to mull over, straight from the material we explored today, consider this concept. Faith isn't just for Sunday. It's for your budget, your vision board, and your bank account, too. How might thinking about that fundamentally change how you view and manage your money going forward?